Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. Illinois could become the next state to legalize suicide. The Pro-Suicide End-of-Life Options Act, State Senate Bill 9, gives doctors the green light to prescribe death-causing drugs to adult patients diagnosed with a terminal illness. But life leaders warn that legal suicide in Illinois will eventually be expanded to cover people with non-terminal conditions and even children. Following his testimony during a state Senate hearing in Chicago on the bill, I spoke with Dr. Kevin Garner. He opposes the pro-suicide legislation. Dr. Garner is an internal medicine specialist and is board certified in hospice and palliative care. He serves as the Illinois Medical Director for the American Academy of Medical Ethics. He's a member of the Illinois State Medical Society and the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Why do you oppose what the proponents are calling the End-of-Life Options Act?
Well, there are multiple reasons. One, 6 months to live is very inaccurately prognosticated. Doctors are very poor at prognosticating. People often live in hospice for 1, 2, 3, even up to 4 years, I've seen. Their prognosis has to be 6 months or less to be on hospice, and it has to be certified every few months as continuing to be 6 months or less. So the fact that these, quote, terminally ill patients can continue to live for a few years after they have, quote, 6 months to live is indicative of how inaccurate prognostication is.
Is it your fear that this legislation, if it becomes law, could be expanded to cover non-terminal conditions and what have you?
Yes. Already in Canada, they're considering legislation to legalize assisted suicide for patients with mental illness. In the Netherlands, they have already euthanized young women in their 20s with anorexia nervosa. The law in Illinois, as it's written, it's easy to circumvent the safeguards. Patients can go to doctors who don't really know them. They can exaggerate their symptoms to their current physicians. They can hide symptoms of depression. They can hide symptoms of dementia unless the doctor digs thoroughly and has plenty of visits and plenty of time, which the law doesn't give him or her. The patient can fool them very easily. Also, the question of what's going on at home. The doctors don't know that. Is a family member talking about finances? Are they telling the patient they're a burden? Is the patient trying to be altruistic, killing themselves not because they want to die, but because they want their family members to go on with their lives? So, yes, there are many ways around this law. Putting something in writing doesn't guarantee that it's going to happen the way it's written. And finally, even when the medicine is dispensed, the patient is supposed to choose to take it. But once that medicine's in the home, anybody could give it to the patient. They could even put it in their orange juice, in their coffee. The patient may not choose to take it. The family member or friend or caregiver may choose to give it to the patient.
Surely that wouldn't happen. But it could.
It certainly could. It certainly could. Nobody knows what goes on behind the closed doors of somebody's home.
You talked about coercion. You really can't legislate against coercion, can you?
You cannot. You cannot legislate against coercion. You cannot legislate what goes on behind the closed doors and within the four walls of somebody's home.
So if someone has a vested interest in their loved one's death, maybe they'll inherit a house or their bank account or whatever. This is a slippery slope.
Indeed it is. It is. I agree.
The proponents say there is no slippery slope here. What do you see as a slippery slope?
Well, first, the ease of circumvention of the current law. Secondly, once the law has been in place, the proponents will certainly, as they have elsewhere, say, well, it's worked great. People are not suffering. They're not having to endure prolonged, painful deaths. Let's expand it to people who aren't going to die within 6 months. Or let's expand it to other illnesses, maybe mental illness, maybe eating disorders, maybe arthritis.
Arthritis, diabetes.
The diabetes, type 1 diabetes, if you don't take insulin, it's terminal. So that would be an easy one.
Why do you think there's such a big push for this right now in our legislature?
I think the big push is coming from a national organization called Compassion and Care. I think they are manipulating, shall we say, our legislators and not giving them the whole truth about the situation. Also, they're able to do this and that they're out there doing this reflects a loss of respect of human life in our societies in general. There's less respect for each other, less respect for human life in general in our current society than there was 25, 30, 40 years ago.
Now, proponents of this legislation really bring up some devastating situations, people in really who are in a terminal state and they're in pain. We have to have empathy for these folks. What do you say about that situation?
Absolutely, absolutely. I have all the empathy in the world for the people in that situation. I'm a hospice doctor. I see people in that situation. But first, I want to point out that pain wasn't even in the top five reasons why people requested assisted suicide in 2023 in Oregon, which is the latest report. Only about one in three people requested assisted suicide because they had pain that they thought was uncontrollable or unbearable. Secondly, hospice can control any pain there is. There's something called palliative sedation. It's sort of like general anesthesia, only we don't make people stop breathing. We basically put people to sleep and they don't feel pain. We have to do that frequently in the hospitalized patients I see for hospice consultations in my local hospital. There are plenty of different modalities of pain medication for the existential pain, for the angst, the anxiety, the depression that goes along with terminal illness. Hospice also includes counseling, pastoral care, life meaning activities such as life quilts, life books, where counselors help people write their life story, legacy books, and they find meaning in their life and purpose, even meaning and purpose in the life with their illness. When we get ill, when we age, we lose abilities and we have to find new meaning and new purpose. That's part of life. And terminal illness is just another part of that life. By taking that away from people, not only are we robbing those individuals of that part of life, we're also robbing the people around them. I've seen at the end of life reconciliation occur. I've seen people deal with issues that have happened earlier in their life that they never actually discussed with family members. So we're also robbing families and friends of the opportunity to do that, for that closure and reconciliation.
There is a better path forward.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And what you talked about is part of that better path forward. What would be your moral argument against this pro-suicide legislation?
First and foremost, thou shalt not kill. The Hippocratic Oath, I will prescribe no medication that will end a patient's life. Doctors are trained as healers, protectors, and advocates for their patients. We're trained to recognize suicidality and address it, not to be part of the plan, not to participate in the death of a patient. So morally, ethically, professionally, in all realms, it is absolutely wrong. It borders on evil.
Borders on evil. But the proponents say, look, if you believe that way, you don't have to participate. This is all voluntary. What's your response to that?
Well, that's what people said when the Nazis were killing Jews. I'll just stand by. It's not me. It's not happening to me or my family. They can kill those people. And I'm not the one killing them. But silence can be just as much wrong as speaking evil. So if I stand by while somebody's doing evil, I'm just as complicit as they are.
Is it your fear, too, that this kind of opens the door for health insurance companies to deny care and say, you might want to consider suicide?
Absolutely. Insurance companies, governments, the state of Illinois, Medicaid program, I'm sure they would save millions, if not billions, by killing people who are terminally ill. Medicare expenditures, over half of Medicare expenditures on each Medicare participant occur during the last 6 months of life, often for needless interventions. But insurance companies would save millions, again, if not billions and billions of dollars, especially if this is enacted nationwide. So there's a big financial incentive for people to die early rather than to continue to take care of them.
If this is considered medical care, how could you deny that to children? Could we reach that point where, well, we have to offer suicide to children, maybe even against the wishes of their parents?
Yes, I think that's true. How can you discriminate by age? What about that child that's born with a congenital defect? Kids make fun of him. He's sad all the time. He's suffering. His parents are financially strapped because of his illness, his condition. Wouldn't he be better off dead? That's right. What they would say.
It sounds like, oh, just one of those rare situations, but we're normalizing death.
We are. If we legalize it, medicalize it, we're going to get more of it. That's been shown in Oregon. In Canada now, one out of every 20 people who dies in Canada dies of assisted suicide. In Oregon, one out of every 100 people who dies of assisted suicide. They'll probably reach the Canadian rate soon because the number of assisted suicides in Oregon is increasing exponentially each year.
Dr. Kevin Garner with the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. After time out, he'll share more of his remarks in opposition to the Pro-Suicide End of Life Options Act, State Senate Bill 9.
A proper view of nature. This is Ken Ham, a contributor to the family apologetics magazine, Answers. Have you ever noticed that some people worship nature, revering it as more important than people, while others carelessly destroy creation? And both are wrong. God gave us dominion over creation, but this doesn't mean we can just do whatever we want with what God has made. Scripture teaches that God cares for and delights in what he made, even the sparrows and lilies. We need to care for creation, but also remember that humans alone are made in God's image. We have a special status because of this. Nature isn't more important than people, but it is important. Being a good steward, you know what that means? Keeping both of these truths in balance.
Learn more about God's beautiful creation at AnswersRadio.com. You'll find biblical worldview teaching at AnswersRadio.com.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. In this segment, Dr. Kevin Garner offers advice on hospice care, and he further explains the potential impact that pro-suicide legislation could have in Illinois should it become law. He's a firm no on the Pro-Suicide End of Life Options Act, State Senate Bill 9. Dr. Garner is board certified in hospice and palliative care. He's the Illinois Medical Director for the American Academy of Medical Ethics. He's also a member of the Illinois State Medical Society and the Christian Medical and Dental Associations.
I want to kind of backtrack here a little bit, but you mentioned you're in hospice care, and there are people in the pro-life community who are a little leery of hospice care. How do you know if you're getting into something that is actually good?
In hospice, one is more than drugs. The drugs are used for comfort. We titrate medication to comfort. We don't titrate the medication upward until somebody stops breathing or until their heart stops beating. We give them medication. We start at low doses and titrate up until they're comfortable. That may take a few hours or a few days, and we adjust the medicines as we go along. Hospice also includes nursing care, personal assistance, pastoral care for spiritual needs, and social workers to help with resources and to help with counseling. So hospice is much more than just medication. In a good hospice, the hospice will offer all of those services, not just drugs. And the medication will not knock the patient out right away. It will actually start alleviating their symptoms, and then the dose will be adjusted every few hours to every day or two until the patient's comfortable.
Now, who are you affiliated with as far as your hospice?
I work with VITAS Hospice. I'm board certified in hospice and palliative care medicine. I work with VITAS Hospice. I do mainly inpatient consultations for new admissions to hospice who have uncontrolled symptoms, or for current hospice patients whose conditions have worsened and need to come into the hospital for symptom control.
Yeah. I'm concerned that this could really put all of us at risk eventually. We've normalized abortion. We're normalizing suicide. Where does this put us 5 years from now?
We're all just temporarily able-bodied. We all get sick or age or both. And if we start euthanizing, which is the next step after assisted suicide, to actively kill people, if we start assisting death or inducing death with drugs, then where does it stop? Do people over the age of, say, 90 who are in a wheelchair and can't feed themselves, why do we keep them around? Where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line? I think we should draw the line at life, protecting life, encouraging life, comfort, happiness, spiritual fulfillment, love, the fullest life we can live for as long as we can live it. That's where I would draw the line.
And there are a lot of people who are considering this. They think it may be a good thing, and it's because they aren't experiencing love or the faith community has not come alongside them. We have a job to do, don't we?
We do have a job to do, yes. Yes. Much of where we are right now in society is due to the failure of the faith community to step up and do what they need to do, and now's the time.
Got a loved one come alongside them.
Right, right, exactly. Or even a friend, somebody from church, somebody from the community. Just need to get them connected. Social connection is vital.
Well, as a doctor, are you a little fearful that down the road, doctors could be required to participate in assisted suicide or recommend a doctor who would be engaged in that?
I think it would become an industry. There'll be groups and associations, affiliations of doctors, nurse practitioners, physicians, assistants who specialize, quote unquote, in that. And, you know, when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So if you refer somebody to there, you know they're going to die unless they change their mind at the last minute. But I think there'll be money to be made there. The insurance companies will cover it because it's going to save them more money rather than paying for, say, a $10,000 a year prescription to keep somebody alive. It's easier to pay for $20 worth of lethal drugs to kill them.
Does that mean that maybe Medicare picks this up?
I seriously doubt it. I think this is a state's issue. I don't think Medicare will pick it up. Certain they're not going to pick it up during the current administration. In the future, I don't know. It could become national law in the future. If enough states approve it, the federal government could certainly make it legal and Medicare could start covering it.
Well, let me ask you about that. If pro-suicide legislation passes in Illinois, doesn't that kind of get the ball rolling for other states?
Absolutely. The more states pass it, the more momentum there is, the more likely it is to spread around the country.
But if it fails here, what's the outcome? Other states?
Well, right now there are 10 states and the District of Columbia who have legalized assisted suicide. It's important for Illinois to draw the line in the sand and say it stops here. We're not going to let the Midwest become pro-suicide. If we draw the line in the sand and say it stops here, other states are going to be less likely to pursue it. Politicians want to get reelected, and they don't want to do things that are unpopular.
What's your message to your fellow doctors about this?
My message to fellow doctors is continue to advocate for your patients, support your patients, optimize their lives, take care of them. And if they want to die, find out why. Find out what's going on in their life. Don't give them the prescription. Don't send them to somebody who'll give them a prescription. Talk to them, care for them, and be their doctor, be their friend.
Now, you spoke to lawmakers here in Chicago about this. What's your message to them?
My message to them is, don't pass this law. It looks good on paper. It's well written. But in real life, it's not going to work. People are going to go around it. Mistakes are going to happen. It's morally wrong. Don't do it.
Yeah. And how involved should the public be in this debate? We have to contact our lawmakers, don't we?
We definitely need to contact our lawmakers. They need to know. They want to get elected. If enough people are against this, they're not going to want to vote for it.
Illinois is already a destination for women seeking abortions. And if we pass pro-assisted suicide legislation, it becomes law. Does Illinois become now a destination for suicide?
Under the current law, you have to establish residency. But unfortunately, doing that is fairly easy. All you have to do is own property in Illinois to be eligible under this law. So it could very well become a destination state, yes.
The land of Lincoln. A destination state for abortion and suicide. This can't happen.
It's a shame, yes.
Yeah. Doctor, thank you so much. If people would like to get in contact with you, maybe they have some questions or just want to follow you, what should they do?
They can email me. I'm not on social media, so email is the only way to get in touch with me. It's KB, as in boy, Garner, at mac.com. So KBGarner at mac.com.
All right. Dr. Kevin Garner, thank you so much for your time and your efforts. God bless you and your work.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, folks, for tuning in. Tell your lawmakers to vote no on this End of Life Options Act. It's pro-suicide legislation. Don't let them tell you otherwise. If you'd like to get in contact with your lawmakers, you can go to our website, illinoisfamily.org, click Officials Finder. You can get their names and phone numbers and ask them kindly to say no, to vote no on this legislation. Tell your family and friends about Illinois Family Spotlight, and until next time, stay healthy, stay active, and God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.